Hi, welcome to Destiny Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore, and we're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you're tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@yourdestiny.church. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He is doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
God is not interested with which ideology or mindset you've been raised in or have decided to pick and align yourself with. God said, I did not come to pick sides. I came to take over. I am neither for, how arrogant of Joshua to think there were only two sides, either my side or the other side. Wow. Don't we think that sometimes? Wow. You're either for me or you're against me. Wow. God says, it's not about you. He said, I've now come. This is not going to be 15 minutes. I haven't even read the verse yet. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. I told you I was going to read it, so I will read it. There's three things, three public service announcements I would like to make, and I'd like for you to write them down. The first public service, and now they don't really do this too much unless there's like a nuclear attack or something like that. But back in the day, if you were watching TV, they would stop your TV show and that kind of noise and that I'm not going to make because it's really annoying would come across. And they would say, this is just a test, or this is a public service announcement. Or now that we have iPhones, because God believes in iPhones and not Androids, ever so often your iPhone will start buzzing and saying, Amber Alert, Amber Alert, Amber Alert. There's something going on in the area, whether it's a tornado or a kidnapping or something like that, something that we think is worthy enough to interrupt what you're doing to let you know. This is a public service announcement. The first one is this, that you have a destiny. Yeah. Welcome to Destiny Church, where we believe that every single person has a destiny. It's a destiny. It's a destination. It's God's intended purpose for your life. And I will never get tired of saying it, so I hope you never get tired of hearing it. God has so much more for you than you're experiencing right now. God has so much more for you than you're experiencing right now. I don't care if your experience is the best experience that you have ever had in your life. You walked into this room after raising 12 people from the dead, seeing 15 people jump out of wheelchairs, and you found $1 million in your bank account. God has so much more for you than you have ever experienced. Let us never be a people that becomes plateaued or settled where we are. There is something I love what Paul said. He said, forgetting that which is behind me, not the bad things, but even the good things, I count it all as rubbish, if only to press forward, to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me for. There is destiny all over your life. The second public service announcement is this, your destiny is occupied. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 8 says this. This is God speaking to the children of Israel. He says, see, I have given you this land. Somebody said, God's given it to me. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your father. You gotta love the Bible. God told Moses to go tell Israel, hey, I'm gonna take you to the promised land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. They walked a two-week journey. You know the story. It took them 40 years. They finally got there, said, hey, this is all for you. Excuse me. Hey God, I'm so grateful. Every good and perfect gift comes from you because you are the Father above, and we're grateful for this land. One problem. There's people in there. God, the land you've given me, it's not empty. God says, I know, isn't it great? No, no, you said it's for me. Yes, it is for you. Now go drive them out. You know God didn't tell them they're going to have to fight for it when they started walking. Because if he had told them they'd have to fight for the promise, they would have never left Egypt. What? Just because you have a destiny doesn't mean you don't got to fight for it. And some of you are depressed and discouraged because it's not easy. God knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he didn't want to tell you, because if he had told you it wasn't going to be easy, you wouldn't have gone in the first place. He tricked you, sorry. He said, hey, this is the destiny that I have for you. This is a purpose, a plan that I have for you. It may be a spouse. It may be a business that he's called you to start. It may be an impact in ministry that you have dreamed about. Some of you have written down vision boards in your house, and you have posters of what you believe in God to do in your life. Some of you have written them in notebooks. Some of you have written them on your heart. Some of you have things that you are believing that God has for you. Listen to me. It's for you. Yeah. It's just occupied. Just because it's occupied doesn't mean it's not for you. Just because it's not easy does not mean it's not for you. Oh, they told me it should just fall into my lap. They lied. I only got 15 minutes, so I can't like dig up a tree that I can't unpack. I think if it's too easy, it's of the enemy. I think if it comes that easy, it may not be God. Wow. It may be a trick. Wow. You know, before Jesus even started his ministry, Satan said, I'll give you the entire world. Yeah. He said, Jesus, you don't have to go through the cross. There's an easier way. Just bow to me and I'll give it to you. It was his to give. You know, and the Bible says that Satan's the prince of the power of the... He actually could have given Jesus authority over this earth. He said, why go the hard way? Just no. If it's that easy, it may not be God. Because he says, what I have for you is for you. The only problem is it's occupied. And listen to me, don't go out here and cut nobody. It's not occupied by another person. Excuse me, that man you're dating, he's for me. That is not God. Y'all go to work tomorrow morning, walk by somebody's office, I'm like, you're sitting in my office. I just need you to know, that's for me. You can stay there for a while, but God says that's... That's why Jesus knows how jacked up we are, so he throws verses in the Bible like this. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. No person is occupying your destiny. Can I scare you for a second? This is about a 25-foot demon that is standing between you and all that God has for you. And you're looking at heaven saying, God, move him. And God says, oh, you forgot. Remember when I got down off the cross? I was a little jacked up, but good. And then I said these words. I said, it is finished. You know what that means? Jesus said, I'm done. So that barrier between you and all that God has for you, he won't move it. He won't move it. Because he has anointed and empowered you to move it. So you are waiting on God to bring to pass the promise that he's made in your life. And God says, before the earth was formed, it was done. I have already written out every step of your life. It's now up to you to go out and to possess, to take that which I have given you. First thing is this, you have a destiny. Second thing is, your destiny is already occupied. Third thing is this, your destiny is so much bigger than you. Your destiny is so much bigger than you. Joshua was excited because God gave them a new home. God says, I'm not interested in just giving you a new home. I'm interested in the entire world seeing what it's like to have the favor of God on somebody's life. I'm interested in demonstrating my glory to the nations of this world. This is not just about you getting chose. It is not just about your business taking off. It is not just about your healing. I'm blessed and I'm excited that God is going to move through your life, but he's moving through your life so that your life can be an example and a catalyst in a bigger picture, which is his kingdom advancing here on earth. Somebody say amen. Those were just my sub points. 3 points, and I promise I'll read it. The first thing is this: you have to see yourself as a warrior. Why did I tell you that your destiny is occupied? Because I'm trying to stir up that fighting side of you. I want you to leave tonight aggressive. Not against other people, but against the enemy that is wrongfully holding on to what God has promised you. And understanding that God has equipped me and empowered me to remove whatever hindrance is standing between me and all that God has for me. You have to see yourself as a warrior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I have a question for you. Why would God give you armor if you weren't a warrior? Why would God teach you about the spiritual weapons that you have if he did not intend on you being in a fight? You have to understand, you are not some passive bystander that's sitting on the side of the war watching a battle on CNN. You are in the midst of the fight. The bullets are flying around your head and you have a gun. Use it. He has called you to violently advance the purpose and the call of God on your life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Nothing will be given to you. You must take it. You must take your healing. You got to take it. Yeah, you don't. You guys understand that Satan's a bully, right? You know how bullies work? They try to take an advantage through intimidation. So you'll be sitting in school. It's been a long time since we've been in school, but you guys get the picture. You've seen all the little TV shows. You're sitting there and you're eating your little Hot Pocket. And the bully comes up and says, that's mine. Is it his? But you have to decide, how much does this Hot Pocket mean to me? Is it worth fighting for? Or do I need it? Can I show you biblically? The Bible says that when Moses died, that Satan showed up to take his body. And an angel from the Lord had to show up and say, no, he goes to heaven. He doesn't belong to you. What's wrong with you? He tries to take what does not belong to him. And if we don't understand that God has given us all that we need to stand up and say, no, you will not take my children. If I wasn't preaching for 15 minutes, I would preach just a little bit there. Isn't it funny how preachers like egg people on? Oh, if I had a little bit more time, if I had a little bit. Oh, go ahead. Preach. Y'all don't mean that. Y'all do not mean that. I don't mean to be melodramatic, but the enemy's goal is to take the soul of your children through media, through television, through what our schools are teaching that are completely opposite to the Word of God. And the enemy is trying to bully you by using words like open-minded, progressive, all that other stuff. You will not bully me. This is where God's word says, me and my house will be. You got to see yourself as a warrior. Here's what you got to understand. You didn't pick the fight, but you're in it. Some of y'all are like pacifists. You're like, no, I don't want to fight. I want to fight. I don't believe in violence. You teach your children to like negotiate with bullies. Listen, you were born into this. I don't want to fight. Well, you should not have been made in the image of God. But because you were made in the image of God, every time the enemy looks at you, he sees God. Isn't it funny the enemy sees us for who we are, even though we don't see us for who we are? We look in the mirror and we see all the mistakes and insecurities and fears that we know are us. The enemy looks at us and all he sees is the image of God on us. And because it's his mission to wipe the earth of the image of God, his mission is to wipe the earth of you. Whether you like it or not, the fact you were born in God's image, you're in a fight, you might as well fight. The second thing is this, you have to understand your enemy. If you're gonna remove him from the destiny that God has for you, you have to understand your enemy. Just because I'm a man and I needed to preach this message, I have a couple quotes from The Art of War. It says, if you know the enemy, this is The Art of War now, Sun Tzu. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. You need to know that you're a warrior, but you need to know your enemy as well. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. I only had more time. Tell you how many pastors have built great churches and lost their families. Because they knew their anointing, but they did not know how the enemy worked. If you neither know the enemy nor yourself, you will just succumb in every single battle. Boy, this is like a 25-point message. Can I give you just a couple things about the enemy? The enemy attacks preemptively. When Moses was born, the enemy had every 2-year-old Hebrew boy and younger killed. Because he prefers to fight in infancy what he does not want to deal with in maturity. So here's what I've learned. I've learned when all hell is breaking out in my life, it is actually a signal from the enemy that I am on the precipice of something great from God, because he would not be attacking me if he wasn't afraid of what God was about to do in my life. So instead of crying about the attack, thank the enemy for showing his hand. I was oblivious. I didn't know God wanted to do something great in my life, but the fact that you attacked me let me know that God is about to do exceeding and abundantly above all. So if you're under attack right now, just begin to praise God for what he's about to do. Because the only reason you would be under attack is because the enemy does not want to deal with you on your new level, so he's trying to take you out before you get there. The enemy attacks when you're exhausted. They were talking to Saul. Saul said, David's going to take my throne. I have to kill him. Get all the army. Let's attack him. And an advisor said, don't do that. Because when David is strong, he will wipe you out. This is what you need to do. Wait till David fights a battle and wait till he comes back exhausted after that battle. The advisor said, David will be separated from his men and just take a few assassins and we can take him out. Isn't it amazing the dumb little sins that take us out? You know why? Because those little assassins, when you're exhausted and isolated, are more effective than all the gates of hell come. The dumbest things you've ever done in your life were when you were exhausted and alone. Y'all don't want me to judge you. The dumbest things I've ever done in my life is when I'm exhausted and when I'm alone. So what does that mean? It means I need to pace myself. Me and my wife just got back from vacation because we were exhausted. And when we are exhausted, we need to make sure we're not by ourselves. Y'all understand how important connect groups are. It attacks when you're exhausted. The enemy attacks to overwhelm. You ever seen those fighters when they come out of their corner, they just come out swinging? They're like, if I could just throw more punches than the other person, one has to land. And even if one doesn't land, they'll be so confused by what's going on. I love those fighters that they just sidestep. And they said, no, when you're done, when you've punched yourself out, let me know. And then the fight will begin. You have to understand when you get phone call after phone call after phone call, text message after text message, and it's bad news, bad news, bad news, worse news. That is the enemy trying to overwhelm you emotionally so that you can give up ground. This message. The enemy attacks through distractions. He'll try to get you to think that people are your enemy. Or he will try to convince you the territory is not worth fighting for. This is the prophetic word that I have for you. Maybe sometimes I should just say, thus saith the Lord, but I'm going to just give it to you this way. The fight that you are currently fighting is not the fight. The fight that you are currently fighting is a distraction from the enemy to keep you from the real fight. And I need you to think right now, what is the biggest fight in your life? What is that biggest burden? What is that biggest concern? Maybe it's a relationship that's gone south. Maybe it's a financial situation, income that's been lost, or whatever it may be. Maybe it's a health concern. Listen to me carefully. I've been praying and fasting this week, and this is the word that I feel like God said to me for tonight. The fight that you're fighting currently is not the battle you should be fighting. It's simply a distraction from the enemy. He's trying to keep you from seeing what you really should be fighting for. So here's, let me make this practical for you. If the biggest fight in your life right now was resolved, what would you be focused on? This is one of those practical prophecies where you need to start writing down and begin to think this through. If the biggest problem in your life right now was resolved, what would you be focused on? If money wasn't an issue, what would you be focused on? If your marriage was full of joy and peace, what would you be focused on? If that loved one was already healed, what would you be focused on? Listen to me. That thing that you'd be focused on if this skirmish was done, that is really what you should be focused on right now. What the enemy is trying to do is he's throwing up these smoke screens. I watch too much TV. Y'all know how like the ninjas, they throw out the little smoke bombs or whatever it may be. Why? Because they're trying to get you to focus on other things except what the real adversary is. I'm telling you, that drama through that family member, that drama at your job, that boss that's overbearing, listen to me, that is not your fight. That is your distraction. And if you can just get your eyes off of that little skirmish and think about what would I be focused on if that was not the situation, that is what the enemy is trying to keep you from. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then the enemy's already defeated. Let's recap. He attacks preemptively. He attacks when you're exhausted. He attacks to overwhelm you. He attacks through distractions. But he is already defeated. Last point is this. This is like 30 minutes now. Live offensively. They said, Lord, stretch out your hand and heal. He poured out his presence, and then they walked out of the room with boldness. My prayer for you tonight is that you walk out of this room with that George Jefferson strut. Like, boy, I dare you to mess with me. I double dog dare you. I'm telling you, God is looking to put a boldness back in your step. Where you're not on your heels waiting for more bad news, but you're leaning in, taking territory. Yeah. Sun Tzu said this in The Art of War. He said, victorious warriors win first and then they go to war. While defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. So this is real practical. What's the strategic territory that God has for you to take next? What's that promised land that he's promised you that you've been waiting on for him to send, but he's waiting for you to take it? I am tired of being in debt. I am tired of living paycheck to paycheck. This is a fight that I'm going to fight one more time and then I'm done, because God promised me that I would have more than enough so that I can be generous on every single occasion, not barely enough scratching by. I will not fight this fight for the next 10 years. Amen. What is that next fight? This is the area that God has for me. It has not turned out the way that He said it would, but I believe that it will. Maybe fight for a peace in your home. Look, we gonna get this marriage together. Yeah. What we not gonna do, boo-boo, is every 6 months end up here again. That's what we're not gonna do. What we're not gonna do is have 24 months of peace and then every 2 years it's like we're at the same place. No, burn the house to the ground. We're not coming back here. Yeah. No. I'm not switching jobs every 2 years. I'm going to find out what God has called me to do. I'm going to find out what my vocation and ministry is. I'm going to get locked onto that. And that is what I am. I'm not wandering around in the wilderness a day longer. So how do I win the war? You win the war by activating the wisdom of God and the power of God. You win the war by activating the wisdom of God and the power of God. Can I make it practical and then we'll worship and God'll be good. Let's say financially, because that just seems to be the spot where everybody loves. I'm believing for more than enough, whatever that looks like for you. I 100% believe that my faith brings income into my life that I did not work for. Amen. You could believe it or not. All I know is what I've experienced. I 100% believe that when I am generous, that when I give not just my tithe, y'all know the tithe is the starting point, right? But when I give over and above my 10%, not just to the church, but I'm biblical. So the Bible says to be generous on every single occasion. And those occasions don't just come in church. They come at work and they come in different places where I encounter. When I live a life of generosity, I 100% believe that God will bless me exceeding and abundantly. He will throw open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that I cannot contain. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is the power of God. Here's the problem with the church, especially when it comes to finances. We preach power, 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 and not the wisdom of God. And if you decree and declare financial blessing and refuse to live on a budget and live on less than you make, guess what? You'll be a faith-filled, broke person. Because the power of God does not cancel out the need for the wisdom of God. It's two wings to a bird. And if you've ever seen a one-winged bird fly, you have seen an anomaly. So if you are sick, the Bible says to call the elders, have them anoint you with oil that they can lay hands on you and pray that the supernatural power of God would heal your body. Somebody says amen. And when you get healed, go home and buy you some running shoes and go outside and run a mile or three, because it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. So here's my homework for you. Whatever area that you are believing to take territory in, I don't know about you, I'm believing to take this city. Somebody say amen. Amen. I had the day off today. I went to 9 a.m. service. By the way, that was a weak amen, but we'll just move on because I'm like 25 minutes past my 15 minutes. I came to 9 a.m. service this morning and I don't feel guilty about this. I had a great day. I went and played golf. It was amazing. But I ran home to change my clothes. And the pool in our neighborhood, I mean, was packed out. And then I get to the golf course and I couldn't find a parking space anywhere. And they could have all gone to the early service like I did, but I just don't think that's the case. I think there was a lot more people who were not in this church on Sunday morning than were out there on Sunday morning. And let me tell you, there were a lot of people in this church on Sunday morning, but there was not enough. I believe that there is a territory that God has called us to take to let people know that there is a place of hope and healing and freedom. There is something that He has called us to do. But it's not going to happen unless we take it. Worship team, come. Hop up on your feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says this, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge. When I said we demolish arguments, I just sensed in my spirit, some of you have been told there is no cure for this sickness. Just take this medicine for the rest of your life. Yeah. The Word of God demolishes every argument and pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready. I feel that Mortal Kombat spirit coming upon me. Finish him. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have to understand that you have a weapon that will remove the enemy from the destiny that God has given you. That weapon is your prayer. That weapon is your worship. And that weapon is the Word of God in your mouth. When you begin to speak God's word over your situation, it tears down the enemy. It removes him from where he should not have been in the first place. And it gives you access into all that God has for you. Is there anybody in this room that is ready to go to war over what God has declared is yours? What he has declared is yours? Anybody in this room, you are tired of the enemy sitting on your stuff. You are tired of the enemy in your home. You are tired of the enemy in your health. You are tired of the enemy hindering the business or the ministry that God has given you. And you finally say, enough is enough. I am going to use the weapons that God has given me. I am going to, by faith, see the enemy removed so that I can take hold of all that God has for me.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at www.yourdestiny.church. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.